Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, oh, what a tender time. Lord, your gentleness and kindness to us, Lord. We know the glory of the Lord is here because your Son is here. We've gathered in his name, and he is all the glory. And Lord, may we just receive the grace today to lift him up, to magnify him and him alone that has brought us into this sonship. Through him and only by him we call you and know you as Father. But it's all because of the beloved Lamb, the beloved Lamb. We thank you and we'll thank you for eternity. Never to exhaust, Lord God, the praise and glory of his grace. We give you all the thanksgiving. We give you all the praise. In your precious Son, beloved Jesus' name, amen. Oh, how wonderful it is to have a mouth to praise him, isn't it? Oh, how he puts in our hearts such praise. I gloried with the saints on Friday, just thinking about that joy that only the Lord can bring. And the evidence of the joy of the Lord is to praise him. And thanking God again for our forefathers of faith, we rejoiced in. Yes, the different sermon, we're not to this next one yet, but on Friday, just thinking of Brother David and that joy unspeakable and full of glory that the Lord just so put in his heart, and think about who he was. He was the man after God's own heart. God has a heart full of joy and rejoicing, and he wants that companionship of full joy. And David was the one that brought them in, and he was the one that went to the Levites, the truth, if you will. Those were the priestly tribe, and he told them, you know what, we're going to bring the singers in. We're going to have them, and you know what, they're going to sing in joy. The joy of the Lord and that truth and love that came together in such a beautiful way and the magnificence of it. And he wasn't ashamed of that. And he would always encourage the people, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's okay. Praise the Lord. Matter of fact, it's needful to praise the Lord. It's not to build up a strange fire. It's not, and I don't want to be fearful of that. That would be the enemy doing that. And that's all that those that want to be led in that way, they want to quench that. And we're not about to quench the Spirit. And I believe the Lord and his keeping that it won't be strange fire. And I don't have time to even think about it. Because now is the time to praise the Lord. Amen. Let's get on over to 1 Chronicles. Speaking of sweet David. And thinking of this Father's Day. In the 29th chapter of 1 Chronicles. David here has been instructed of the Lord. And told, David, you're not going to build the temple, honey. I love you. But it's not for you, it's for your son. But I'm going to give you all of the pattern of it. I'm going to let you understand it. You're going to know it. And you're going to know it in such a way that you're going to be able to tell him. And I'm going to encourage him. But it's going to come through you, Dad, to your son. And so David is thanking God and he's praying over the congregation. He's praying over the people. And here's specifically what he says about his son Solomon in verse 19 of chapter 29. He says, and give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart. And give Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments and thy testimonies and thy statutes and to do all these things, to build the palace for the which I have made provision. To build the palace. That was Solomon's temple. To build that place, praise God, of worship and reigning. Think of that. The place of worship and reigning. Now, David, oh my, I just have to stop. To be a dad like David. You can say all that you want. You can say, criticize him for his thoughts towards Absalom, criticize him for a lot of different things. But I'll tell you one thing. When you got a dad that says and prays, give my son a perfect heart, you got a dad. And you got the right dad. But truly to be that kind of a parent that only stands and wants to dedicate that baby for one thing. Let my child grow up to know you and to love you and to trust you and to want your truth and to want your best. And how wonderful this is with Solomon here. We're talking about to build the place of worship and reigning. Do you understand what Paul's gospel does in our lives? Do you see that the word of his grace builds us up and gives us an inheritance? The word of his grace makes you that masterpiece. This was a building, yes, and of worship and praise to God. But praise be to God for the temple that the Lord has made in you. A temple of the Holy Ghost. A temple, praise God, that is his. And by the grace of God to allow that life of Christ in us, that beautiful life of Christ in us, to grow up fully. To grow up and to be built in the fullness of worship and reigning. Now, David knew that Solomon could not win the best or have the best and truly reign as king without a perfect heart towards God, without a complete heart towards God. And you'll notice here, all he wanted, he said, Lord, give unto my Solomon, my son, a perfect heart. And what was the perfect heart about? To treasure or to keep the word of God and all of it, and to allow it to be built up in such a fullness, praise God, that it would build a palace, a place of abiding, sure, but a palace is a place of reigning. It's for kings. Praise the Lord. So we see this encouragement that we take here, and brothers and sisters, our children's inheritance is just the same. See, Solomon, praise God, was called and born for, to reign. But ours, praise God, are born by the grace of God to jointly reign and share in the throne of Christ Jesus himself. And praise God, we want them to run that race to win. Amen? But you can't run a race without a perfect heart towards the Lord. That's the truth. We're talking about this heart that understands and knows and believes that this gospel, this plan, just like that plan that was laid out for David, for his son, that wasn't some other plan or it could be this or we're going to get a lot. There was one specific plan, God's plan, that was going to build that temple. That was it. And it was perfect to every jot and tittle. Amen. Well, we have one that's called a master builder. Do you know that? You know who the master builder is? It's the Apostle Paul. And he was given the plan. Given that exact plan. And it was the plan that was to be built with all of the jot and tittles. Matter of fact, they're called line upon line and precept upon precept of the Word of God. And as we said earlier, the Word of His grace builds us up. That's the plan, the word of his grace that was given, that wonderful word of his grace, that magnificence of it, the mystery of Christ and his bride. It's that message. The master builder was given to the Apostle Paul, the chief of sinner. And it's that exact plan that builds up in our lives a palace of worship and reigning. Amen. Now, I want you to think about how beautiful this is. The Lord tells us how we have this perfect heart. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. See, the Lord doesn't just say things and leave us unknowing. He tells us time and time again, and we know. And you know. And yes, you do know. And he that wills to know will know of this will of God. You'll know of this bridal message. He's a God that's not a respecter of person. He said, I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. So I know who it is on. If I'm not wanting that, it's not God's fault. It's mine. And it's unbelief. But I thank God for his faithfulness today, because this is the word of his grace that's being preached this morning. And praise be to God, it is, yea, the deep things of God by his Spirit. And in chapter 4, verse 13, how wonderful this is. It says there, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. There's something about knowing this plan and knowing how this palace, this masterpiece is built in our lives. And here it is, unto a perfect man. See how David said, give my son a perfect heart. Praise the Lord. This is why the Father gave us his Son. This is why the Son, praise God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, ascended to the right hand of the Father to send us the Holy Ghost, that we could grow up into him in all things, that we would have all truth. We would have this master plan. Amen. Of the bridal message, praise God, that we could grow up in this knowledge unto a perfect man. Complete, full, hallelujah. Fully grown, mature, ready to be a spouse, putting away childish things. Praise God. And how does that growth happen? We grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not in the way that people think that we should grow as the religious community, but the growth, praise God, that often comes through a bruised reed. Huh? A smoking flax that he will not quench. Taking us to these things and times in our life to really realize who we are apart from God. How weak we are and infirm we are. How much we need the Lord. And to thank him and to praise him. And to even, as Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. That's when I finally completely get out of the way, and it is the very power of Christ that rests upon me. It's the very magnificence of his mercy that's shining before all. And I will ask you this, was the glory I'm talking about, you got to come on Wednesday nights, Lampros glory, the glory of the bridal couple glory. Was it being evidenced through Martha serving everybody? Or was it that woman that everybody was even criticizing? Where was the glory? Where was the glory? The glory was in those that were walking around and said to the Lamb of God, oh, if you knew who she was, you wouldn't let her touch you. This is my glory. And I'm going to tell you, there'll be a time, and it's coming soon, he's going to take all of them and all of the synagogue of Satan, it says. And they're going to come down and they're going to bow down and worship before her feet. Know who the Church of Philadelphia is. And I pray to God that that would be something that you trust the Lord for. Praise the Lord. I do hold fast by his grace, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. I've got the palace glory doctrine. I've got that wonderful plan. Hallelujah. My, oh my. Come on. Come on. Now, it says here, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. And now he's going to tell you even more specifically, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Praise God. And all of us know, you do know this, the moment you accepted Christ Jesus as your Savior, you died and Christ came to live in you. It's no longer I that live, it's Christ that liveth in me. Amen, amen, amen. But see, there's something more here that we have that God has given us. It says to be filled with all the fullness of God, all the fullness of God, not part, not some. I love that. To grow up fully unto this perfect man, unto this measure and stature and fullness of Christ Jesus himself. Do you see how much he wants that fellowship? See, he wants that communication. I thank God for little children. I thank God my babies are here today. And I love that. And they're men. Praise be to God. I loved them as baby. I love looking at those pictures on the wall. But I would not trade them now. No way. I want those mature sons. I want that communication. Praise God. I want that shared fellowship. And how beautiful the Word of God always gives us that encouragement, always, always, throughout all of these precious, wonderful stories. It's always about that bride, that wife, that spouse, that one that won't just walk behind me, that walks even before me in a sense. This is my glory. This is the one. I want you to come out. I want everybody to see you. You're my glory. It's going to be revealed. Oh, it doth not yet appear what she shall be. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Praise be to God. These are the things, hallelujah, that we have abounding hope in, expectation with confidence. He that shall come will come and will not tarry. And as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. Aren't you thankful you believe this word like that? Thank you, Lord. All these things that we see, they're just temporal. Oh, but man, I'll tell you, there is nothing of more substance. There is nothing of more evidence than this right here. Are you living in Canaan now? Oh, come on now. Let's live in Canaan now. Praise God. But see, it says here, to the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. No more children. No more children. And here's the evidence of a child. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Quit listening to nonsense. Quit thinking that somehow you just listening to milk during the week or whatever it may be. And really, pray for your pastor. I need to get more bold. And I'm going to tell you, by the grace of God, I thank the Lord for Brother Hill. You're wasting your time. Don't go through a trash can to find a scrap. When the Lord, praise God, every time we get together, and I thank the Lord for this, he spreads a table for us. And it's a table so full of strong meat. Come, feast on it. Take time, listen. If you miss, listen. Praise God. Go back, get those study books. It's time to really know your inheritance. Don't go feeling good. Well, I got that little scrap here. Oh, that really is nice. I don't need to go through garbage to get that. Praise be to God. I've got a buffet that he sits out for us all the time. Praise God. Don't compromise this stuff. It's exact. We're going to realize how precise it is for our inheritance, how exact it is, and how thankful we are by the grace of God. Just stand in it. He's already given it. It's already been given all through his Son. We are blessed. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. It's done. It's finished. I thank the Lord with you for it. So he says, don't be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Stay in the truth. Stay in the truth. Take steps to stay in the truth. You'll make bad steps when you don't go in the truth. And here's why. By the winds of doctrine, the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But here it is. Hear how it all comes. But speak truth in love. Truth in love. Truth in love. It's a magnificent time. It's a magnificent time. Don't miss the truth in love. And here's what happens when you speak that truth in love. That you grow up into him. In some things, a few things, a bit of things, all things. To the measure and the stature and the fullness of him. How could that even be? How could I even comprehend that? I mean, we have an idea, praise the Lord. Matter of fact, more than an idea, says we know him, of who he is. And I know he lives in me. And I so love starting out with Jesus. I really, so thankful as a little guy, just thanking him. Oh, my beloved Savior, my friend. And growing up and knowing him more, and then knowing my father and how he loved me because he gave me Jesus. Amen. And all those things. But how beautiful then as the truth came in and the truth and love was preached to my life and shown to my life. And it was all grace. Oh, I've been spoiled. I'm so spoiled, and I'm thankful. I had ones that were not ashamed of the grace of God and the mercy of our Lord. And what was given freely to me, and how free indeed I am. I thank God. Oh, there were attacks at times, but that was such nonsense. That was so evil. That was so putrid. I truly, by the grace of God, I just want to magnify him. His mercy is so marvelous. His grace is so great. I love who you are in Christ. I do. I adore it. I adore it. I see the challenges. I see the fight. I see the weakness. Thanks be to God. That's my body too. And I'm talking about the body of Christ. It's weak and perfectly. It's just like him. He made himself of that. So he gave himself for that. The God of all that could have crushed it, called 10,000 angels, just destroyed the planet. He is the Lamb. He weakened himself. Praise God. He willed himself. He had to give up the ghost to die. They could not take his life, as he told them over and over. And if we're going to be like him, praise be to God, we're going to be a bunch of bruised reeds and a bunch of smoking flax. It ain't going to look good out here. It's going to look like, oh my gosh, what did God do? Can't we take it from Jesus? Think about that with his disciples. He's sitting there at the last dinner. He knows he's going to the cross. He knows he's going to die. Praise God, and thankfully and joyfully he's going to the cross. And he knows that none of these guys are even going to, they're going to all scram. They are. And what does he do? He's thanking the Father. Oh, Father, look what you've given me. I mean, we'd be sitting there, oh, Father, what did you give me? You know what I'm saying? And he said, oh, look what you've given me. It was such a delight and such a joy to him. Because he knew and he saw the beauty and the weakness of him. He knew that, praise God, it was going to be in that weakness. They're going to be so low. You know what they're going to receive? They're going to receive the Holy Ghost. And you know what Jesus told him? He said, power is going to come on you. It's going to come upon you when you receive the Holy Ghost. But speaking truth and love, we grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Truth and love, the word of his grace. You never have to worry about provoking your children to wrath by preaching and speaking the word of his grace. Right, Evan? Daddy made some mistakes, but he always gave you grace, son. Amen. You grew in that. Amen. You're growing up. In the witness of my weaknesses and the times of my great failures, been the greatest gains to their life because of the mighty grace that God immediately gave to witness, to tell him of that mercy, to tell him of this story of the masterpiece, the palace that's not built in our strength, palace, praise God, that can only be built by the divine Word of God. And I'll tell you one thing, brothers and sisters, you cannot give something you don't have. You can preach this, you can know this, but if you haven't received truly that humility, now, that passion is always there in the full overcomer dads that desire their children to have God's best. Turn on over to Genesis 25. This is how exact it is. I want you to think about this. So beautiful. These full overcomer dads that sincerely desired their children to have God's best. That their sons were going to have nothing but the full promise of what God intended for them. And the first one we come to is in Genesis 25, 5 and 6. This is good. Stay with it. Even if you're a little bit tired, Lord, wake them up right now. 25:5, it says, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. All that he had. Boy, Abraham had a lot. I believe we've read here recently in Romans, he inherited, praise God, the world. Come on. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac, his son, while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. So he gave him everything that he had, and he also got rid of anything that was going to interfere, even if it was his own family. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for these kind of dads. And I was thanking God. A lot of people didn't know this about my dad. And I thank God for my dad so much every day. But I thank the Lord. My dad was a wonderful businessman. And he worked for an insurance company. And very humble. And as he raised us, he was always, now I want you to work for yourselves. Don't just be a number in this company. But he wasn't just a number in that company. Matter of fact, God gave him great favor. And they realized that he had been given a gift. And they wanted him to be the president of that company. This was one of the top five insurance companies in the whole country. Yeah. And so that was a wonderful thing. But it required him to move the family from Denver to St. Louis. Oh, my goodness. As I told you many times, we didn't even go on a vacation past Lyman. And that's the truth. That was a long one. And if we went away, we were back usually in 24 to 48 hours. Daddy didn't like to be away from home. But I'll tell you this. It was a wonderful thing. It was a wonderful compliment. But thanks be to God, there was never a thought. I'm not uprooting my children from the truth. That was it. It wasn't a hard decision. It was the only decision. Oftentimes, brothers and sisters, you're going to be faced with, as a parent, it's got to be avoided, get rid of it. And oftentimes, it does not seem like the right decision, but it's the right decision. Well, think of this, how that passed on to Isaac for Jacob. Abraham's son, Isaac. He passed that on over to Jacob. You go over to Genesis 28. Read verses 1 through 4 with me. And how beautiful this is. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. See, he protected him from the things that were going to distract him from the things of God. We see this later with Solomon. Amen. Remember it said how Solomon, how he loved the Lord and praised the Lord. God graced him so much that anointing was on him. But what happened? His wives and concubines, they turned his heart to worship other gods. Those idols that came in. Amen. And as Solomon said at the very end there, he said, O vanity of vanities, O empty of emptiness, I missed it. All this that I have, the wisest man, the richest man, all of the most powerful power there could ever be, I'm it. But yet I miss the best. My daddy prayed for me to have that perfect heart for God, but I missed it. But I'll tell you what, Isaac, for Jacob, he wasn't missing it. You ain't going to have them wives. You're going to have a wife that loves the Lord with all their heart, their soul, and their might. So, he said, arise, go out to the field. That's what Pandamaram means. To the house of Bethuel, the dwellers of God. It's okay to be a bold parent. You need to be. I don't want to live a life I wish I had. I'm glad I did. And it may not be popular, but you thank the Lord in that. But once again, that's something that's built up. You don't just spring that on somebody. You don't. It's grown, isn't it? That confidence and that trust. And that's what the word of his grace builds. It builds trust. It builds confidence. And we understand we're not perfect people, but we have a perfect God and there's a perfect love. And we want to always pursue that perfect love. And this is this perfect love. Praise God, you're going to have that wife, honey. And you're going to arise. You're going to go get her. And you're going to be from thy mother's family. Oh my goodness, we're going right to Grace's family. And here she comes. But that's Grace's family. How sweet. And you're going to take a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, my mother's brother. It was always in that lineage. It was always in that line. And what is this line? It's the line of reigning. This line would come down. Amen. It would come down and come down. Jacob inherited all. In Numbers 24, 17, you don't even have to turn there. But it says a star will come out of Jacob. A star is going to come out of Jacob. And that line passed to Jesse, and Jesse to David. David to Solomon. And praise be to God, that great, wonderful star, our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was always about that line of the majesty of our Lord. It's always going to come out of that. And I thank the Lord that God awakened these dads. And I believe he's awakening us as parents for our children to have God's best. To have God's best. But I want you to know something here. Abraham and Isaac, it took their wives to shake them. I'm not going to leave my sisters out of this. Oh, no, no, no. These guys were weak. They were pretty pathetic. God dealt with them so sweetly and all of that. But Abraham and Isaac both, it took their wives to shake them up of what they needed to do for their sons to have that full inheritance. Sisters, I want you to understand this. This doesn't, I mean, we want to love one another. We're not here to, but I'll tell you what, I thank God for the boldness in these ladies. When it comes to your children, win God's best. Win God's best. That's why we're a couple. Praise God. We encourage one another. Sometimes we have our better days and off days and all that. Hopefully the other one's on. But I thank the Lord in this particular instance. Praise be to God. Those women were awakened of God. See, Abraham, he was more interested in keeping peace with a concubine. Her name was Hagar. Isaac was more interested, and he really kind of preferred his son Esau. But these wives, Sarah and Rebecca, you know what they knew? They knew the promise was in Isaac and in Jacob. And praise be to God, I believe that we know that that promise, praise the Lord, has been given to our homes. It truly has. That blood is upon our household. Trust God for it. Don't try to pick out which one of your kids has it. Give it to all of them. Trust the Lord for all of it. Don't stop. Let's wrap this up. The perfect heart is always about a full inheritance. A full inheritance. Not a part, not a bit. And it is a narrow way. It's a fine line. It's like we read about truly the sweetness that the Lord has called us into this growth unto the perfect man, unto the measure and the stature and the fullness of Jesus Christ. It's preaching that truth and love and nothing else. It's the pure word of his grace that builds us up and gives us that inheritance. It's from that master builder, yes, the apostle Paul, and I'll always rejoice, the chief of sinner. That's why God chose him. He's the worst of the worst. That's the one I'm going to show this wonderful plan of grace in. Do you get it? Isn't that marvelous? You don't worship Paul. I don't praise him. Meg. He's the weakest of us all. I just really thank the guy that he realized it. Praise God. But we know that it wasn't him. It was still the grace of God that was with him. He took no credit even for that, realizing how wicked he was. It still had to be the mercy of the Lord that awakened his life to realize, Lord, there's no goodness in me. I don't seek you one bit. All that knowledge I had of all the scriptures, it meant nothing to me because I did not have love. Now, all parents, God help us to love our children perfectly. Perfectly. We can give them all these things. And I thank the Lord. I appreciate parents that make sacrifices. I saw my parents make sacrifices. Crazy sacrifices. Incredible. But the kids to have more. Nothing wrong with that. But this is it. I thank the Lord. I'm just going to tell you for my life, and I can testify of this, and it is the faithfulness of God. The chapters that God writes in our lives. And let me tell you something. Thank God for every one of them. But as a businessman, it was a wonderful, wonderful chapter. And I wasn't looking to change it. No. I thank God for what he'd given and what we had and all of those different things. But I'll tell you one thing. When the Lord came and said, honey, I have this for you. Will you go? I guess it was just like Pop. That's my daddy. Wasn't really anything to think about. Decision is already made. Decision is already made. Did Solomon have to think what David was going to give to him? Nope. Isaac have to think what Abraham was going to give to him? Nope. Jacob have to think what Isaac was going to give to him? Nope. We're born for it. Born for it. How could you make that decision? There wasn't anything else to make. You get to that point, brothers and sisters. I thank God. Depend upon him. Trust him. Walk. Don't try to navigate your life in holiness and godliness. It will not work. Get rid of your lists. Get rid of what you're ranking in your life and all that. It's just him. It's just this word. And I tell you, God help us to have more of a heart to go after the whole counsel of God. It's been given. It's greater. It's even more. It is. It's more clear. It's more real even. Really. It's even more real than the kingdom that David was passing on to Solomon. This is forever and ever and ever. It's there for us. We're born Lord of all. That blood did it. That believing in Jesus Christ. You're right there. You're in that inheritance. You're in that line. It's of that lineage, praise God, to rule and reign. It's the same. But yet we have a better thing. We have exceeding great and precious promises. It's incredible. It's incredible. And the Spirit, praise the Lord, he makes it so clear. So I'll tell you, isn't it wonderful that we can agree the only thing is the promises of God? Amen. I mean, that's the only thing. And by faith, Jesus, let us go on to want more grace and more truth and more love for our lives and our children. And God help us not to let anything get between that. No feeling, no emotion, no material things. Or the grass looks greener on the other side. It's going to be easier to raise my family this way. Or I can have a better thing their way. Or I can maybe compromise this way. Or it's going to make a more agreeable home. No way. Lord, let us want your way. And by grace, may we humble ourselves humble ourselves in every way to have it. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you.
Seek ye first.
Yes.
The kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Yes.
And all these things will be added.
Oh, glory
to you.
Amen.
Take no thought for tomorrow.
Amen.
Sufficient unto the day of the evil.
Praise God. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we come in such gladness and singing and joy. We so have overwhelmed hearts that truly can't fathom this love, but yet we know it. And Lord, help us as parents today. Thank you for grace in our lives with these kids. Nothing greater. May we be as a precious Hannah, and just continuing to dedicate our children back to you. We know you are the faithful one. We know you always abide faithful. And in that, may we rest and place all of our confidence in you, that it is this truth in love that we grow up into you in all things. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.